Malquin replied. What did you promise him? To make him give us up? Malquin's head twitched at that, and he smiled his creepy smile. Ah, my dear, maybe you are less insightful than I thought. Then he reached into his pocket and withdrew a long, thin knife. No, Liv said, pulling against her chain. Malquin ignored her and knelt down over Merrick. Please, Liv said. You don't have to do this. She could hear the naked desperation and helplessness in her own voice. Behind her, Shannon moved closer to Daisy, as if to block her view. Wrathblood is needed for us three to cross through the portal without being torn apart. You don't want to be torn apart, do you? Malquin lowered the knife and pressed its point to the skin of Merrick's exposed neck. Please! Liv pulled against the chain until her shoulder threatened to pop. Her feet scrambled against the floor, but took her nowhere. She watched as the knife pierced Merrick's skin below his neck and drew across his collarbone toward his shoulder. She couldn't tell how deep the cut went, but it was enough for him to bleed immediately. A steady trickle of Merrick's blood fell over the side of his shoulder and ran soundlessly to the floor. Liv's stomach lurched as she watched Malquin lean down over the pooling puddle of blood and dip both hands in it. When his hands were coated in a dark red, Malquin stood. Behind him, Merrick twitched, and his eyelashes fluttered. A powerful relief fell over Liv to see that Merrick was moving, but it slipped away as Malquin made his way toward her. He ran two fingers over her forehead, and she jerked at the feeling of wetness they left behind. Malquin then went to Daisy and left a streak of red on her as well. "Repeat after me," he said, without looking at them. "Echo libratum. Echo indux vitae. Echo libratum, echo indux vitae." The words sounded vaguely Latin, but more guttural somehow, a language Liv didn't know, ancient and harsh. "I said repeat!" Malquin reached into his other pocket and withdrew a small handgun. He aimed it at Shannon, and Liv's mind went blank. Shannon shook her head and inched as far away from Malquin as her shackles would allow. "Please," she whispered, sounding more scared than Liv had ever heard her sound before. Shannon was directing her words to Malquin, but it was Liv who responded. "Echo libratum, echo indux vitae." The words came from her mouth more easily than she would have thought. After a moment, Liv heard Daisy's voice join hers. Then she could feel something beginning to grow, a pressure in her head, right between her eyes, a pulling sensation, as though she was connected to an invisible string, and maybe she had been her entire life, and only now was someone on the other end beginning to pull it tight. Malquin chanted as well, his lips curling into a smile as he did. Liv turned around, slowly to face the wall, and her breath caught in her throat. There, at her eye level, a small black hole was opening up in the wall. Then it started to grow. Liv felt the hole drawing her closer, pulling her near. It wanted her. It felt heavy, purposeful, inevitable. A crashing, tearing sound ripped through the room, but it hadn't come from the portal. Reluctantly, Liv stopped repeating the words, tore her gaze away from the growing hole in the wall, and turned around, only to see another hole. But this one was much larger, taking up nearly half the space of the wall across from her. Instead of opening up into pure darkness, it showed the orangey-black haze of the Los Angeles night sky, and standing there, in silhouette, were more than 24 figures in dark red robes. The battle. The portal was nearly 5 feet high, but had stopped spreading over the rusted wall.
"Don't stop chanting!" Malquin yelled, but his focus was soon pulled away from Liv and Daisy toward the robed figures who were working their way through the room.
Wraths poured in from the warehouse to fight the knights back with knives, pipes, and other makeshift weapons. A small group of wraths formed a rough line that protected Liv, Daisy, Shannon, Merrick, and Malquin from the clanging conflict. Liv could hear metal on metal and could smell blood in the room's enclosed space,
but soon the line of Wrath guards blocked her view entirely. "Keep chanting!" Malquin screamed. But chanting was the farthest thing from Liv's mind, and even Malquin was distracted by the pushing wall of dark red robes that was moving ever closer. A Wrath guard to Liv's left collapsed in a heap on the ground, a blade sticking out of its chest. It didn't get up again. Liv realized, with a dimmed sort of triumph, that she had been right to call the professor instead of the police. The knights knew how to fight wraths and had brought silver blades. Now she could only hope that their fight with the wraths lasted long enough for her to figure out how to get away. A yell tore through the room. Liv couldn't tell if it was human or wrath. She turned slightly and saw Merrick struggling to rise. For a moment, he looked up, eyes first on Liv, then on the portal. He got to his knees and started to crawl toward Liv, his teeth gritted in pain. Not a moment later, a battling knight and wrath stepped in between them, blades and claws flashing. When they moved away, Merrick was gone. The fight went on. Blades flashed in the dim lighting of the warehouse. Robes swirled, wraths growled. A trickle of blood made its way slowly across the concrete floor, toward Liv's foot. There was no way to tell if it was from a wrath or a human. It almost looked fake, like the corn syrup concoction she'd whipped up for her film shoot earlier in the summer. Liv looked out over the fight, and for a moment, tried to convince herself the whole scene was fake. The wraths were stuntmen, with dark contact lenses. The fights were choreographed, the weapons props. If someone called cut, everyone would stop. They'd pull back their hoods and go chat over a hummus tray in the corner. It could almost be true, if she imagined hard enough. It could almost be true. The trickle of blood reached her foot, staining the edge of her shoe. A few feet away, a wrath crashed heavily into a pile of barrels, causing them to roll over onto the floor, spilling out a stream of pungent, familiar-smelling liquid. Liv knew there was no more pretending. This was a real fight. They were in real chains, and real gasoline had just been spilled. Malquin called out and snapped the fingers on his good hand. Two wraths broke from the fray and approached. "Unchain the scrolls," Malquin said. "They're coming through the portal with me." "No!" The wrath ignored Liv's scream and unlocked her from her shackles while another released Daisy. Every part of Liv's body wanted to sprint away, but the sight of Shannon, still in chains, stopped her. Within moments, the wrath who had released Liv from the shackles held her tightly by the arms. Liv looked squarely into Malquin's eyes. "I did everything you asked. Let Shannon go." Malquin squinted at her. "Once we are safely through the portal, my people have instructions to release your friend." "Don't go with him, Liv," Shannon said. Her fingers were wrapped tightly around her shackle chain, pulling uselessly, the skin of her knuckles turning white. But Liv wasn't sure she had a choice. She pulled against the wrath who held her, but its grip was too strong. And then, a familiar face appeared at the edges of the fight. His eyes were puffy and bruised from where Cedric had hit him the night before, but it was impossible not to recognize him. The professor. At first, Liv thought the professor's eyes were locked on hers. Was he going to kill her? Right here, right now? But the professor walked right past Liv, his eyes sweeping past the portal and landing on Malquin. "You," he sneered. "I remember you." Malquin turned to face the professor, his face full of hate. "And I, you. It's hard to forget the face of a man who destroyed your family. Not sufficiently, it seems." The professor reached into his robes and pulled out a short, silver sword. "But there's time to correct that." Malquin merely smiled and lifted up his own handgun. "What is it they say? Never bring a sword to a gunfight? Or something like that? These things tend to fade from the mind when you're trapped in a medieval dimension for 2 decades. The professor narrowed his eyes at Malquin. "Close the portal." Malquin laughed. "I do remember the perfect earth response to that. Make me." Before Malquin could move, The professor thrust his sword at Malquin's good right hand, the one that held the gun. Malquin jerked back just in time to spare his wrist from the blade, but the gun was knocked to the floor. The professor swooped down to retrieve it. "Not exactly my weapon of choice," he said, steadying it in his hand. "But it will do. You can't keep the portal open for long if you're missing a scroll." Before anyone could react, the professor swiveled, pointed the gun at Liv, and fired. Liv felt something crash hard into her chest, and she dropped to the ground. For an instant, she was sure she'd been shot, but something heavy was lying on top of her. Someone had managed to push her to the ground. She shifted to see Cedric, his face inches from hers. Cedric brought a hand up to her cheek and ran his thumb over her skin. "Are you okay?" Liv nodded, but before she could say more, Cedric leaped up to face the professor. But as soon as he jumped up, he stopped, his eyes caught on the portal hole in the center of what was once a concrete wall. His legs gave a quick jerk, and for a moment, just a moment, Liv thought he was going to dive into the darkness. The darkness that would take him home. Instead, Cedric turned back to the action of the room. With a firm hand, the professor aimed the gun once again. This time, it was Malquin who jumped in front of Liv, batting at the professor's hand with his good arm. Cedric looked between Malquin and the professor, as if unsure which one he should try to help. Malquin spoke through gritted teeth as he fought for control of the gun. "Go through the portal!" He was still facing the professor, but Liv knew his words were directed to her. "No way in hell," Liv replied. "Am I going anywhere with you?" The professor rammed the butt of the gun into Malquin's face, then quickly turned and aimed it again, not at Liv, but at Daisy. Daisy's eyes widened as she stared down the barrel of the gun, but she seemed frozen in place. The wraith who was holding her jumped away from the threat of a bullet. Before Liv could yell out, Cedric sprang into action. One moment he was standing next to Liv, and the next he was at the professor's side. He reached out to knock the gun from the professor's hands, and as he did, another shot went off. This time, Liv knew immediately that the bullet hadn't met its mark. She saw sparks hit the wall where the bullet ricocheted off the cement, near the overturned barrels of gasoline. A bright orange flame flickered at the edge of the liquid, and in a matter of moments, the barrels were burning. The gun Cedric had knocked to the ground was consumed by fire. "Oh, God," Liv whispered. The fire spread quickly from barrel to barrel, lighting up the gasoline on the floor. Liv's brain swirled with panic. The smell of the fire and the rising smoke threatened to bring her back. Back to her old darkened bedroom, her old wooden house, sitting on that lawn and watching it burn. Shannon pulled on Liv's arm, shaking her back to attention. "Liv, we have to get out of here." Liv took her hand from her mouth and coughed as the smoke hit her throat. "Daisy, run! We'll be right behind you!" Daisy looked back at Liv and gave a quick nod. She dropped down low and ran into an opening in the fray, away from the growing fire. Liv lost sight of her almost immediately. She turned and knelt next to Shannon, who was still in shackles. Both girls pulled at the chains while keeping track of the quick progress of the fire. The flames had already spread to cover the entire spill. Malquin, Cedric, and the professor continued to struggle a few feet away. Liv looked up when she heard a grunt and saw Cedric doubled over at the waist, but he recovered quickly, his jaw set in a hard line. He shoved the palm of his fist up against the injured part of the professor's face and grimaced as the professor yelled out in pain. Liv turned back to Shannon. She wrapped the chains around her hands and pulled again, so hard that she fell backward. "Liv," Shannon said, her voice soft. "You have to go." "No way, not gonna happen." "I can't get out of here," Shannon said, eyeing the fire, "and you don't have much time." "Shannon!" Liv was interrupted by a loud, horrific screaming. She looked up to see a knight flailing around the room, his robes engulfed in flame. The wraith stepped out of his path, and not even his fellow knights tried to help him. Within a few moments, the knight had sunk to his knees, the fire growing brighter and larger on his back. Liv coughed through the thickening smoke. "Cedric!" she screamed out. "I have to get Shannon out of here!" Cedric tore himself from the fight and dropped down next to Liv to help her pull on Shannon's chains. Liv heard a choked yell and looked up. With Cedric gone, the professor was gaining the upper hand in the nearby fight, his hand wrapped around Malquin's throat. Malquin stumbled back, bringing both men closer to the wall and the portal. "Hurry," Shannon urged. "It won't budge," Cedric said, gritting his teeth. Shannon let out a small, desperate sob that transformed into a cough halfway through. "Please, please," Liv said, pulling the metal around Shannon's wrist with all her might. Her face and arms felt hot, and she knew the fire was growing closer. It was almost impossible to see the fight in the warehouse through the waves of dense smoke. The fire itself was growing louder, drowning out the cries of the men and wraths who fell into it. Past Cedric, Liv could barely see Malquin and the professor as they still struggled. They were very near to the portal now, the fire at their backs. They grasped at each other, half fighting, half clinging for the support to stand. Malquin's eyes scanned the fiery horror of the warehouse, and Liv could briefly see flames reflected in them. He looked to her, then, and she could read the defeat in his eyes. She knew just a half second before he moved what he would do. Clinging tightly to the professor, Malquin pushed himself off the ground, backward into the portal. The professor reached out, trying to keep Malquin from escaping. His hands clasped at Malquin's twisted arm, but instead of pulling Malquin back into the room, the professor was pulled forward. He stumbled for just a moment, eyes wide, before falling completely into the blackness of the portal and disappearing from view. Cedric stared into the space where the two men had just disappeared. His back was completely rigid, and from her vantage point on the floor, Liv could just make out a sliver of his expression, of the horror there, and also the longing. On the other side of that black hole was his home. Liv tried to call out to him, but instead sucked in a lungful of smoke and ash. She doubled over, coughing and retching. The room tilted. Liv was thrown violently to the right and crashed down hard on her elbow. She reached to steady herself against the ground, but couldn't. The ground itself was shaking. An earthquake. Dust and debris fell from the ceiling, only to be swallowed by flames. Wraths and knights alike tumbled to the ground. Several raced out of the building through the giant opening in the wall, until a chunk of corrugated metal from the roof tore free, slicing the air as it went and partially blocking the opening. "Liv!" Cedric screamed. "You have to go!" His voice was swallowed up by the chaos and the noise. Liv had had a hard time seeing him through the smoke, but she shook her head. The world lurched again, once again throwing Liv to the ground. When she struggled to get up, she saw a large crack in the cement under her feet. The earthquake had pulled the floor apart. Instead of pulling on the shackles around Shannon's wrists, Cedric instead pulled at where they were chained to the crumbling ground. The chain gave, and Cedric handed it to Shannon to carry. Shannon rose, still coughing heavily. Cedric and Liv each supported her on one side and started toward the opening on the other side of the room. Beads of sweat ran down Liv's face, and her throat was raw. The heat of the flames was oppressive, overpowering. They carefully made their way toward the other end of the room, weaving between the remaining knights and wraths that still filled the space. They had to crawl over dark heaps of robes and clothes that Liv knew were collapsed bodies. She tried not to look down, instead keeping her eyes half closed to keep out as much smoke as possible. Once Cedric glanced back over his shoulder, toward the portal. Liv risked a glance back also, and saw, to her surprise, that it was growing smaller. As it did, the wall itself started to fall, large chunks of it crashing down to the ground. They were almost across the room when Liv heard a screaming, tearing noise coming from above. She, Cedric, and Shannon all looked up, just in time to see the last remaining section of the metal ceiling swinging downward, trailing flames. Cedric's arms wrapped around both Liv and Shannon now, propelling them forward. He lifted them off their feet and out through the ruined wall into the night. Behind them, the burning chunk of ceiling crashed down onto the floor of the warehouse with a deafening bang, sending sparks and pieces of charred wood flying. Cedric pushed Liv and Shannon to the hard ground, diving on top of them to protect them from the debris. Heat raked up Liv's legs, and she struggled to breathe through smoke and ash. She turned back to the warehouse just in time to hear a groaning sound. "It's going to collapse," Liv choked out. Cedric nodded, unable to speak. Shannon's eyes were closed, though she continued to suck in huge breaths of air. Liv put an arm under Shannon's shoulder and hauled her up so the three could move across the small lawn. Liv knew that she should move her legs faster, 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 but couldn't force her muscles to respond to her command. She just barely registered that the earth had stopped shaking. They finally reached the spot where Daisy half stood, hands on her knees, and Kat held a still-bleeding Merrick. When Cedric saw Merrick, his face went entirely still. He was covered in soot and ash, but his eyes burned through it all. "You!" Cedric let go of Shannon's arm and launched himself forward, tackling Merrick to the ground. He barely noticed that Merrick, limp as a rag doll, didn't even try to fight back. Cedric grabbed Merrick's shoulders and shook until his head flopped backward. "Why did you do it? Why?" he screamed, voice catching in his throat. "Cedric!" Kat yelled out. Liv could see that she was covered in dust, and the knuckles of her hand were bloody. She'd been fighting, too. "Stop!" But Cedric wouldn't stop, or couldn't. He slammed Merrick's shoulders again into the ground. "I don't..." Merrick coughed. "You betrayed us. Why?" Cedric's lips were pulled back into a grimace. His eyes were wild. "Why?" But Merrick didn't just look scared. He seemed confused. Even in her daze, something Malquin said before popped into Liv's head. "Maybe you are less insightful than I thought." "Cedric, wait!" she yelled, as loud as her smoke-charred throat would allow. "It wasn't him. Malquin told me it was someone else." Cedric's body tensed, but it took another moment for his fingers to release Merrick's shoulders. He stayed there, hovering over Merrick for some time. "There is no one else," he finally said. "It had to have been him."
"I did not betray anyone," Merrick responded.
His voice was thin and raw. For the first time since Liv had met him, it was entirely devoid of sarcasm. Like the rest of the group that sat wheezing and sweating on the lawn, Merrick was totally wrung out, a hollow shell. A teenager who was in over his head.
"I swear!"
Kat leaned down and slowly coaxed Cedric away from Merrick. "We will figure everything out when we get away from here," Kat said. She bent over Merrick, ripped the sleeve from her shirt, and wrapped it slowly around his largest wound, the one from Malquin's knife. "Can you move?" Liv's eyes shot back to the burning building. A few figures were still scattering into the night, some wearing flowing robes that flew out behind them as they ran. Any wraiths and knights who made it out of the fire weren't sticking around to see what happened next. When the right half of the warehouse collapsed in on itself, it did so with a shudder and a bang. The crumbled remains of concrete walls stood brightly against the night. There was no sign of the portal.
"Liv, look,"
Shannon said, nudging Liv's side. Liv followed her gaze past the ruins of the warehouse to the surrounding area beyond. She had a hard time processing what her eyes were telling her. They stood in a field of rubble. And not just right outside the warehouse. For a full block, every building in sight had been completely leveled, brought down to the ground, decimated. The debris. They moved as quickly as they could through the darkened Venice streets. Liv's lungs burned, and her head pounded with each step, and she only wanted to sit down somewhere cool and clean. But they had to keep moving, away from the knights and wraiths fleeing the wreckage of the warehouse, away from the cop car Cedric had stolen, away from anyone who might try to stop them. Getting away quickly was difficult, what with everyone still coughing up ash. Merrick could barely even stand without Kat and Cedric on each side to prop him up. But they still moved, following Liv's lead. She was taking them to the only familiar place nearby, the ocean. When they reached the beach, Liv looked around, trying to get her bearings. It was nearly dawn, and sirens wailed in the distance. Liv wearily directed the others to turn right, toward the only structure that could provide some sort of shelter where they could stop and rest for a while. As the Santa Monica Pier grew closer in Liv's line of vision, with its familiar buildings and Ferris wheel outlined against the sky, her body finally started to shed some of its panic. They collapsed into the sand under the rounded wooden pillars that supported the weight of the pier. The shadows would hide them well. With Kat's help, Cedric was finally able to snap the shackles from around Shannon's wrists. Once that was done, he moved to sit a little away from the group, his arms wrapped loosely around his knees. He stared out at the water and avoided looking at Merrick, who in turn stared at the sand, his expression dark. Liv fell down next to Shannon and Daisy, noting their soot-streaked faces and thinking she must look just as dirty. Their throats must be as parched and dry as her own, too, after inhaling so much smoke. She wished she had water, or anything at all, she could give them to make it better.
"Let's never do that again," Shannon said, flopping down in the sand and rubbing her wrists.
"Are you okay?" Liv asked Daisy. Her sister looked up, as if startled by the question, and Liv saw that her eyebrows were furrowed. She regretted asking. Of course Daisy wasn't okay.
"I'm sorry to pull you into this. I really wanted to keep you safe, not put you in danger. I shouldn't have come for you at all."
Daisy looked out at the ocean, not responding for a while. When she did say something, her words surprised Liv.
"I'm glad I know the truth, even if tonight was, like, the worst thing that has ever happened to me."
She looked over at Liv.
"I'm glad you found me."
"Me too."
Liv smiled and turned her head toward the ocean.
"We're going to need a way out of here. Time to call Joe."
Liv moved a little away from the others to dial, and Joe picked up on the first ring.
"I'm glad you're all okay,"
Joe said when Liv was done explaining what had happened. His voice sounded strained. "Peter and I are just outside the city. Do you have somewhere safe you can go until we can get to you?" Liv thought of the Echo Park house. It was likely that Malquin knew about it, and his wraths, too.
"No," she said. "There's nowhere safe left."
A pause. "Then stay where you are. I'll be there soon."
"Okay.
And Joe, there's something else."
Liv heard light static through the line as Joe waited for her to continue. But how could she tell him this? Not only tell him that his brother was alive, but also explain what he had become? There was no easy way. But it had to be done, and there was no one to do it but her.
"Malquin isn't from Calum. He went over there through a portal."
Liv took a breath. 20 years ago. Joe made a small noise of shock, and Liv knew he understood.
"John,"
he whispered. When he spoke again, his voice was shaky.
"Okay, okay. I'll be there soon, all right?"
"Okay," Liv breathed.
She hung up and turned to the exhausted group around her. "Joe's on his way to come get us, and as long as we're waiting, there's some things you guys should know." Liv filled Cedric, Kat, and Merrick in on everything Malquin had told her about his plan. When she was done, Cedric took his head from his hands and stood. His expression was carefully controlled. It was a scary thing, Liv thought, watching Cedric pull himself into leader mode like that. But it was impressive, too.
"He fell through the portal, but now we know what he wants. He won't give up just because we lost a handful of wraths in a fire."
Liv closed her eyes, trying to block the sights and smells of the fire from her mind. "We can't let him open a giant portal," she said. "You saw what happened to those buildings, and that portal was only open a few minutes. If it had been longer..." Liv swallowed.
"We will not let that happen," Cedric said.
"But it's worse than just that. The portal closed on this side, but Malquin explained that they stay open on the other end, in Calum.
He could still use it to bring wraths through.
Better the wraths come here than stay in Calum, Cat said, her voice cold.
Nice, Shannon shot back.
No, Cedric said, his voice again, eerily calm.
Expelling the wraths to this realm is not the solution, but now that we know Malquin's plan, we can stop him. We can find him in Calum and intercept him before he can cause more damage to either world.
You really think you can do that? Liv asked. Stop him before he comes back?
Yes, Cedric said. I can.
Why should we trust you now?
Merrick said, his voice rough and shaky. He coughed and spit into the sand.
Look how far trusting you has ever gotten us.
Cedric winced.
I know I could have done things better, Merrick. No one knows that more than I. We acted rashly tonight going to get Daisy, and then...
I acted rashly. Cedric's voice faltered, and he swallowed hard. But I will not make that mistake again. We will make sure the scrolls are safe here. We will follow Malquin home to Calum, and we will stop him.
For a moment, no one spoke.
Look, Daisy said, pointing out toward the sea. A thin shimmer of lighter blue was beginning to rise from the horizon, with just a hint of pink underneath it.
It's morning.
While everyone looked out over the water, Liv's head swiveled to Cedric. The almost morning light was not yet bright enough to reflect in his eyes, and his features looked dark. He seemed very far away, like he was slipping from her. Soon, she wouldn't be able to reach him at all.
Liv pushed herself up from the soft sand and walked over to where he stood.
Can I talk to you? Before Joe gets here?
Cedric nodded.
Of course.
He followed her as she started to walk away. Cat watched them go with careful eyes, but didn't make a move to join them.
Liv led Cedric out from under the pier, up the beach a few paces, to the worn wooden stairs that led from the sand to the main pier entrance. In the early darkness of morning, the pier was empty. Its boards were cool to the touch, though Liv knew they would be baking hot later, under the summer sun.
"Where are we going?" Cedric asked. He looked around at the closed-up shops and restaurants, the Ferris wheel frozen in place at the far end of the pier.
Liv led him across the width of the pier to the railing on the other side. They were near enough to keep an eye out for Joe on the road, but far enough to be out of the sight of the others.
Liv leaned her arms up on the splintery railing and listened to the splashing of waves against wood.
"Liv, I wanted you to see this," she said. The strip of sky at the horizon of the ocean was growing larger, and the sky was getting lighter with each second.
"Do you have oceans in Calum, or piers like this one?"
Cedric shook his head. "We have a sea, but nothing like this.
I know you've seen a lot of terrible things since you've been in this world," she continued, "but I'd hate for you to think it is all bad. That, after everything, you still thought it was..."
Liv trailed off, the word hell on the tip of her tongue. With the images of the fire still bright in her mind, she couldn't bring herself to say it.
"I do not think it is all bad,"
Cedric said softly, looking out over the waves.
"Not anymore. There are a lot of dangerous things here, but there are dangerous things in Calum as well. It's just the unknown that is frightening."
"But this place, it's at least a little less unknown than it used to be."
Liv struggled to keep the hopeful tone from her voice. Cedric's mouth twitched a little, just a hint of his half-smile.
"Yes," he replied, "and not everything that was frightening turned out to be bad."
Liv swallowed hard, trying to summon back the courage she'd felt at Daisy's house after her pep talk with Shannon, just before the wraths had attacked. Even if it was ill-timed, she knew this would be her last chance to say something real.
"This is the moment," she yelled inside her head.
"Do it now."
Her stomach clenched, and she turned back to look at the ocean.
Cedric, you and me... She faltered. Why was it so hard? Why, after everything else...
Liv, he said, carefully.
You do not have to... No, that's the thing. I do have to, I really do. Because what we have between us... It's new to me. It's all scary and... unknown. But that's no reason to be afraid of it, right? It's no reason to shut down. I know this is completely the wrong time, but if you really are going to go soon, I don't want to regret never telling you.
Cedric's eyes bored into hers, searching, but Liv couldn't tell what he was thinking.
How much I care about you. Because I do. So much.
The words were tumbling out of Liv's mouth now, and she let them. She knew if she stopped talking, this moment would pass away like all the others had, and she'd never be brave enough to get it out.
I just want to explain, I want to be clear, so there's no doubt. Whenever we're around each other, it's like you're the most important thing in the room, and I just need you to know.
Liv didn't wait for Cedric to interrupt her. She leaned in quickly and kissed him hard. His mouth tasted like salt and smoke. After a split second, Cedric began to kiss her back. He reached up to the back of her head, and his fingers tangled up in her bedraggled hair. With effort, Liv pulled away.
I just need you to know that. I need you to know that I want you to stay.
Cedric's hands remained in Liv's hair, but his eyes were fixed on the wooden pier beneath their feet. Time ticked by for what felt like minutes, hours even, and Liv had trouble remembering to inhale and exhale. Even though her feet were on solid ground, she felt like she'd just taken a running jump off the pier, and she was falling, falling, falling into nothing. Cedric stepped away, releasing Liv and tucking his hands into his pockets. He cleared his throat. Liv landed. Hard.
I can't, Cedric said.
Liv took a half step back, looking to the ocean so Cedric couldn't read the emotion in her eyes.
Everything that happened tonight, it was my fault, Cedric went on. Someone could have died in that fire. I may not know how we were betrayed, but in the end... it was still my decisions that led us there.
Liv thought about the day before, when she had pleaded with him to go to the observatory, and then to find Daisy. When Kat had called her out on manipulating Cedric to get her way. She shook her head. It was my decision to go to Beverly Hills. If it's anyone's fault, it's mine. No, you wanted to go, but the decision ultimately falls on me. That is what it means to be a leader. That is what Kat has been trying to tell me. Cedric breathed out heavily and ran a hand through his hair. I fought for so long, against my father's wishes, against my future. All I wanted was to fight, not to rule. But I can't run from it. I have to be a leader, their leader. There's no changing what I was born to be. Even if I wanted to...
Cedric paused. I can't.
Liv stayed completely still as Cedric went on. He sounded weary now.
I was born to protect my people, and these past few days I have not been doing that. I should have put the welfare of Kat, Merrick, and my family first, but instead, all I could think about was... you!
She looked hard at him in the rising daylight. There were his hands that had picked her up to run from the wraths. There was his mouth that she had kissed just minutes before. He was standing right before her, but the possibility of him was drifting farther away with each second.
Having you around, it confuses things, Cedric continued. My priorities shift when you are close. My priority becomes you, and it cannot be you, not now. When we need so desperately to get home, and not soon, when we have such fighting ahead of us, and not later, when I have to take up my responsibility to my family and my kingdom. Not ever, Liv.
Cedric turned away from her then. 100 responses formed on Liv's mouth. That it wasn't fair, that she understood, that she didn't understand, that he was taking the coward's way out, that he was brave. In the end, she said nothing. She saw the resolution on Cedric's face, and she knew she wouldn't sway him. The hurt was sinking in, like a fresh wound that stings just before it begins to throb. Her words were out there now, and so were his. There was no taking any of it back. The wind swirled Liv's hair around her face. She could just see the sky turning bluer over the water. The darkness seeped away by the second.
"I am sorry," Cedric said.
"Don't," Liv said, shaking her head. "Please don't apologize." Cedric nodded.
"I will make sure that you, Daisy, and your brother are hidden from Malquin. It is in the best interest of both our families that he does not get what he wants. We'll figure out the safest way to keep you from him, but meanwhile, I think it would be best if you and I kept our distance."
It took a good amount of Liv's energy to keep her voice steady as she said, "Okay." Cedric stood awkwardly for another moment, as though he wanted to say something else. Then he turned and walked away. Liv wanted to call out to him, to scream that this wasn't the way things were supposed to go. She had summoned up the courage and made her declaration. Granted, it hadn't been in a last-minute dash to the airport or on top of the Empire State Building, but she still knew what was supposed to happen next. Happily ever after, with the credits rolling over the two of them, together. If the world worked the way it was supposed to, that's what should have happened. But Liv couldn't force the universe to give her a proper happy ending any more than she could force Cedric to turn around. She heard the sound of his shoes hitting the wood as he walked down the pier steps. Soon she would have to turn around, too. Walk down the pier, wait with the others. Soon she would leave this moment behind and wait for it to become a painful memory. But for now, she stared out over the ocean's waves, the water's cold, salty spray blowing into her face and stinging her eyes, mixing there with her warm tears. And for once, she didn't bring a hand up to stop them, or hold them back, or blink them away, but just stood still and let them fall. The road ahead. Cedric tried to keep his mind blank as he walked down the wooden steps and back onto the cool sand of the beach. The sky was a light blue now, and in the distance he saw cars driving along the roadway. He wanted to turn around and get one last look at Liv, see her outlined there in the morning light, but that would only make things harder. Instead, Cedric looked forward to where Kat and Merrick rested on the sand. Merrick swayed where he sat, his eyes dark hollows. A part of Cedric felt guilty when he saw Merrick's injuries, and another part of him still wanted to shake his quasi-friend until he told the truth. Even if Merrick hadn't betrayed them, Cedric believed he knew more than he was telling. At some point, it would be up to him to figure out what that was. But for now, he was so tired. Cedric's lungs ached, and the skin of his arm tingled where the hair had burned off. Walking across the sand was difficult. As Cedric trudged over to where Kat was sitting, he saw movement out of the corner of his eye. He looked up to see that people were starting to make their way down the beach, toward the shore. A few men carrying fish poles, some older couples in large hats, one lone girl with dark hair and pale skin. Cedric stopped in his tracks. Suddenly, he couldn't feel anything. Not the scratches on his skin, not the pounding of his heart. He stared blankly at the girl who was striding, poised and calm, in his direction. She wore a long-sleeved gown, and her feet made tracks in the sand. She stopped not 10 feet from where Cedric stood.
"Hello, brother,"
Emmeline said, grinning wide. Cedric's little sister closed the space between them, like a vision come to life, and embraced him.
"Em?"
Cedric's voice came out strangled and rough. He stood frozen in place. Could this be real, or was this dreaming? No. Cat jumped up and rushed forward to embrace M. This was real. M was here, on Earth, on this very beach. Cedric couldn't form words, but Liv could. "You're Cedric's sister?" Liv exclaimed. She was close, walking quickly across the sand, though Cedric hadn't noticed her behind him. "But it's you," Liv continued. "You were outside the house yesterday." Cedric heard the accusatory note in Liv's voice, but her words barely sank in. He could only see M. M was everything safe and good in the world. M was his home, and now M was here. "How was she here? What are you doing in this realm?" Cedric finally stuttered. "How did you find us?" M's shoulders fell a few fractions, and he could see the disappointment on her face. A face that, if he was to be completely honest with himself, part of him had expected to never see again.
"And what sort of welcome is that, Cedric?"
M smiled, and that's when Cedric noticed the changes in her. Her voice was still playful, but her face had lost some of its youthful softness. It looked harder around the edges somehow, and she hadn't answered his question.
"It was you,"
Liv said again.
"You overheard everything. You were at the house yesterday when we were talking about getting Daisy, our whole plan. It wasn't Merrick who was working with Malquin. It was you."
M scowled at Liv, but Cedric shook his head. It wasn't possible. He remembered the way M had looked at him before he'd fallen through the portal, how scared she'd been that entire night. His baby sister.
"No," he said, but M didn't deny it.
"I have had to do a lot of things to keep our family safe,"
she replied, her voice suddenly sharp. Cedric thought his heart had stopped. He couldn't tell whether he was breathing or not.
"M, what are you saying? How are you here?"
"I followed you, of course."
Cedric just stared at M, as her eyes locked onto his, and her face broke open in another smile.
"And now, finally, it is time to bring you home, Big Brother. Today."
Liv paced in the sand until the muscles of her legs ached. She couldn't help but glance at the roadway every few minutes in search of Joe's minivan. She knew that once he got here, he'd be able to help. He'd help them figure out what to do next. And he'd have Peter with him. Liv looked over to where M sat in the shade under the pier, her dress splayed out across the sand, like a girl in a medieval painting. She was just inches from Cedric, who stared at her as if she were a Christmas gift he had just opened, but was afraid would disappear from before his eyes if he blinked for even a moment. Whenever Cedric had talked about M, he had done so with such a lightness in his voice. But looking at her now, Liv felt nothing but anxious. M had been spying on them for Malquin.
"M," Kat said, voice gentle,
"tell us again. How long have you been here?"
"A few days," M replied. "Malquin had people following you."
"You mean rats,"
Merrick interrupted. He slumped against a wooden support beam, eyes narrowed and arms crossed. He seemed to be the only person aside from Liv who doubted M's every word.
"Yes, of course," M said, her face coloring. "I have not forgotten what they are, but here in this realm they look so little like monsters. They look more like us. It is odd, is it not?"
"M," Cedric said, his voice low.
He reached out and touched her hand, and in that one moment she seemed to soften.
"Please tell us everything. We need to know."
M nodded.
"He knew you were staying at the, what is it, the museum? When you left, he had you followed, and he knew you were in possession of a scroll.
He only needed to separate you from... her.
Em turned her eyes to Liv, then looked away quickly. Liv felt her stomach knot. She moved a few feet away, closer to the bottom of the pier steps.
Shannon was there, and Daisy, too. Both were trying to follow the conversation while swaying with exhaustion.
He asked me to come and get more information. The wraths were too conspicuous. Malquin said that even in human form, they lacked subtlety. He warned me not to be seen, and when she caught me, I was terrified.
I didn't know who you really were, Liv said, her voice cold. Em continued as if Liv hadn't spoken.
I went up to Malquin and told him what I heard, that you were splitting up and going after another scroll. He knew it was his time to take his chance and acquire them both.
Em bit her lip, and her eyes welled with tears as she looked down at her hands in her lap. Liv was distinctly reminded of Shannon, who forced herself to cry whenever her parents tried to punish her for sneaking out, or lying, or doing anything else Shannon-like. If Cedric thought Em's tears were forced, he didn't show it. He squeezed her hand tighter. On Em's other side, Kat looked equally sympathetic.
I did not want to do it, Em said. But he said it would all end, Cedric. He could not give us the castle back, but he promised you would be safe, and he would release our parents. All of our parents.
Cedric looked to Kat, twin hopes flaring up in their eyes.
They are still in the dungeon, Em continued. I was there with them for a long time. Then Malquin came to me one day and asked for my help. He had a task for me. At first, I didn't want to help him, but he said I would get to see you again, Cedric. And if I did just as he asked, he would let us all go.
And you
believed him?
Kat's voice was gentle.
What other choice did I have? Em's shoulders shook. It is so cold down there. And Mother, she is not taking it so well.
Is she ill? Cedric's voice rose with concern.
She is struggling. She has always been so strong. But we have been locked up for months, with no word of you or of the kingdom, no idea what was happening outside of those damn stone walls.
Em took a deep, shuddering breath.
I agreed to help him, Cedric, but I did it for our family. Please understand.
Cedric looked down for a long moment. I understand, he finally said.
Oh, so when it is your sister who's the traitor, you understand. But when you thought it was me, your first thought was flatten me to the ground,
Merrick said. Liv noticed that the skin of his face looked a few shades paler than it had just moments before. Cedric took a deep breath. I truly regret my mistake, Merrick. To Liv's and everyone's surprise, it was Shannon who jumped up.
Mistake? That's it? I mean, look at the guy.
She motioned to Merrick.
Sure, he's a jerk, but he didn't deserve to be throttled like that.
Merrick, perhaps equally surprised by the outburst, nodded at Shannon. Thank you. He returned to Cedric.
You should not have suspected me in the first place, especially after this.
Merrick pointed to his collarbone, which was covered in the crusty bandage Kat had wrapped around it earlier. He pushed himself off the ground, swaying a bit. Shannon stepped toward him, steadying him.
Come on, we should really wash that out with some water.
She peered at Cedric and Kat, and maybe give Cedric a moment to come up with a better apology. Merrick haltingly followed Shannon down to the shore. Cedric turned back to Em.
What exactly did Malquin want of you?
I waited with him at the warehouse. I stayed hidden in a back room while the wraths brought the two scrolls.
Liv and Daisy, Liv interrupted. You keep calling us scrolls, but we're people, and those are our names. Em gave the briefest of sharp looks to Liv, before softening once again.
Of course. He'd figured out a way to keep a portal open on Earth,
he said, though he wouldn't tell me how. He just needed the two, you two. Malquin said once the new portal was opened, we would all be able to go home, but then it all went so badly. M's face hardened. I heard the fighting, but Malquin had told me to stay hidden at all costs. Then I smelt the smoke and saw the fire. I ran from the building just before it collapsed. Cedric gripped M's hand, and she gave a small smile. I am all right. After a few moments, I saw you. All of you. You were running away. So I decided to follow you here. For a while I lost sight of you, and thought I might be stuck here alone. But then I looked up, and saw you standing down by the water.
What did you mean earlier, when you said it was time to go home? Cedric asked.
Malquin's plan failed, M said. But his portal did open. I saw it in the warehouse, before I ran the other way. I saw him go through it, which means he is back there now, with our parents. And if he does not get the scrolls, he will keep them locked up, Cedric. He told me he will. M's voice went quiet. We have to bring them to him. Liv fought against her instinct to throw or punch something. Finally, Cedric looked up at her. We're not going. Liv moved closer to Daisy, who was still slumped against the stairs. I'm not taking my sister through any portal.
He is going to kill my parents,
M cried. Her tears dried quickly as she turned angry eyes on Liv.
My family is at stake.
Liv stood firm. So is mine. The silence grew thick as M stared down Liv.
We will find another way, Cedric finally said.
M turned to him, and her mouth dropped open.
M, listen, Cedric continued. Malquin cannot be trusted. We have no way of knowing whether he would keep his promise to spare our parents. He has no reason to let them go once he gets what he wants. But we do know that his plan hinges on Liv and Daisy, and so we have to keep them from him. We will find another way to free mother and father. To free everyone. Em shook her head in disbelief.
Cedric, we must do this. We must. Em looked to Kat.
Kat, please, help me talk sense into him. Your parents are at stake as well. Please.
Kat hesitated, and for a moment, Liv wondered if she would argue against Cedric. She briefly looked to Liv before she spoke. Cedric is right. Liv and her sister cannot come to Calum. Malquin cannot win. Em put her head in her hands and shook it back and forth. This time, Liv believed her tears were real.
No,
Em whispered.
Please, no. He'll kill them. Please.
Cedric stared at his sister with a kind of helpless terror. He wrapped her in his arms and held her tight. When he gazed over her shoulders with pleading eyes, he didn't look to Liv, but to Kat. She moved closer to Em, putting an arm over her as well. Liv turned away from the sight, and when she did, she saw a familiar van in the beach parking lot. Joe was finally here. Liv raced across the sand, with a sudden alert Daisy on her heels. She skidded to a stop just as Joe got out of the minivan. Liv's eyes focused on the passenger side door, which swung open. A pair of Chuck Taylors hit the ground, and Liv's heart sped up. She reached for Daisy's hand as a lanky teenage boy with oversized glasses and a t-shirt decorated with a picture of 20-sided die shut the door behind him. Liv opened her mouth, but Daisy beat her to it.
Peter?
The boy looked between them, his expression uncertain. Liv raced toward him, her hand still in Daisy's, and threw her free arm around her brother. After a beat, Daisy did the same. Peter's face broke into a smile.
I remember you, Daisy said. I didn't think I would at first, but then I saw you, and I did. I remembered.
Daisy smiled, a real smile, for the first time all day.
I remember you too.
Peter said, and his arm clenched tighter around Liv's shoulder.